Good evening, everybody. Tonight's class is dedicated in memory of Leah Batzara Linda Cohen, Aleha Shalom, by the Shiloach family. We thank the Shiloach family for their sponsorship throughout the summer. Anybody else would like to sponsor? 718-375-1023. I'm sure if you leave a message that you'd like to sponsor a tape, he will call you back. 718-375-1023. You know, we had the depressing customary mourning period of the 3 weeks Ben HaMitzarim, which culminated a week ago on Tisha B'Av. And besides the halachot and all the customary things that we do in order to remind us of the Churban, without a doubt, it's a part of the year, it's a little section, small part of the year, where we definitely focus more on Mashiach. I mean, we zero in on the problem. We're in Galut. We tell stories of Holocausts and Crusades and Inquisitions and pogroms. We cry, we fast. It's a period of not washing, shaving, changing to fresh clothing. That's the problem. And when we realize that although we have our freedoms, although we have our multiple dwellings, I don't mean apartment houses, I mean we have one here, one in Florida, one in Jerusalem, one in, so you know, we have summer home, winter home, we have so much, I mean there's driveways full of fancy cars, fashion, we're doing pretty well. And yet, we all have a mitzvah, which is becoming easier to do as time goes by, to hope for the coming of Mashiach. In Birkat HaMazon, at least the Sephardi Birkat HaMazon, we say, HaRachman hu yechayenu vizakenu vikarevenu limot HaMashiach. HaRachman, the merciful Lord, should give us life, should give us merit, and should bring us closer to the days of Mashiach. So what are we praying for? It's not tonight's class. Tonight's class was entitled, What Would We Be Like in the Times of Mashiach? Which we will get to before 10 p.m. But first, let's just think. We're praying for this great event. We're praying for this major change in the way we're living now and suffering. We may be living physically and materialistically very well. We are suffering a spiritual holocaust the Jews have never seen in this land of tolerance, where most Jews don't know they're Jews, or don't want to know. Millions and millions of people are intermarrying and get lost. So what's this Mashiach time? What is it? We're praying for it, we're hoping for it, we talk about it, but you can't open a parasha and find it. You can't open a parasha like you want to look up Avraham, or you can't open up the Navi and find out about David and Shaul. You can't, there's no real Tanakh source where you can just look outside of many references and allusions and puzzling statements by our prophets. You have no way to look. The Gemara itself does discuss in several different places, but out of 2,200 pages, It's certainly not a lot of discussion, but there is some discussion about the times of Mashiach. And Rambam in Hilchot Melachim, the laws of sovereignty of kings. Abarbanel has several works. There are several major works, but really, to the general public, we don't know what it is. Amru Chachamim, our sages say, "En ben olam hazeh rimot el Mashiach el shibud malchuyot bilvad." There's no difference between the world as we know it today and the world in the times of Mashiach, except that instead of the goyim ruling over us, they will no longer rule over us. Things will be in proper perspective, meaning we will be on top, like in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, and they'll be in their place, serving and providing, building bridges, doing what they were put on earth to do for our people. That's pretty disappointing, ain't it? Here we are praying and fasting and crying for Mashiach. Comes the Gemara and tells us the only difference will be instead of the president being Bush, his name will be Abraham, not Lincoln. Abraham Schwartz. Abraham Cohen will be the Mashiach. That's going to be that's it? Shibud Machiyot Bilvad? And in the sources that I looked into this past week, according to the prevalent opinion, and according to this statement, "En ben ha'olam hazeh limot Mashiach ela shibud malchuyot bilvad," that really the world will be run naturally. You're not going to walk down the street and see a million miracles. The sun will rise in the east like it does now. It'll set in the west. Some days you're going to want to play golf and it's going to rain. It's going to happen. You know, I prayed for Mashiach. I can't play golf whenever I want. I thought it was going to be like Disneyland. Everything works. But there will be some changes. Because when I say the world will run naturally, we have to know what naturally is. How should the world run? Well, we have some prophecies that say, very famous one, that when it comes to animals, the gazeev im keves v'namer im gedi yirbatz, and the wolf will live with the lamb, and the, I guess, leopard will live with the, will lie down with the goat. We know that these animals are called those that are hunters, they're pursuers, they eat other animals. In the times of Mashiach, they won't. They'll be able to see a lamb and not consume the lamb. It says in the Pasuk, "V'natena ha'aretz yibulah," the land will give its bounty, its produce. Says the Gemara in Ketubot some amazing things. Like the first day before Adam's sin, a man will plant a tree and the tree will bring forth fruit on the first day. People will plant wheat. People will plant wheat and they won't have to go through the process of baking. They'll plant wheat and cakes will grow and loaves of bread. Gemara Ketubot, Kofi Dalet, look it up. Trees that we see lining city streets, if they happen to be in the cities of Eretz Israel, those plain trees like maple and oak, not apple and orange and peach, would produce fruit. Hey, it's getting better. There'll be some changes. How about my business? Will I not have to work and I'll make money anyhow? There will be rivers. Naharot, naharot. Some will be wine. Some will be honey. And some for the ladies section will be perfume. And it'll smell a lot better than the main floors of a department store. So, there will be changes. And doesn't it say there's nothing new under the sun in Hadash Takat HaShemesh? So where is this coming from? And what happens if there's no difference between the world today and the world after Mashiach comes? And the answer is that the world was created very differently than what we know. The world on the day Hashem brought Adam into the world and said, "Here, happy birthday. Here's your world. You're the king. Take over. Lo avda l'shomra. Watch my mitzvot and it's all yours." And which mitzvot? One mitzvah. Don't eat from that tree. Everything else is yours. What did he see? The world as I described it. And after his sin, part of the result of sin is the existence of the world dropped to a lower level. The light's not the same, the fruit didn't taste the same, things didn't grow the same, things changed. And in the time of the flood, when Hashem decided to destroy everything, and then through Noah's teva, he saved the human race. But when Noah came out, the earth needed more work to produce the same. It dropped again. When the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, many other things changed. The taste of fruits and meat. Many things that people enjoyed didn't have the same gusto and oomph they had before. So when Mashiach comes, things will be natural. But natural at that old level, not natural at the level we know it. That's my little intro. And now we can begin. What really concerns me is not what tree is going to give what fruit, or which river do I go to get a glass of wine for Kiddush. I'd like to know what people are going to be like after Mashiach comes. There's prophecies about the Yetzer Hara being destroyed. There's peace on earth. There's a lot of positives we hear about. But what will we be like? Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was a tzaddik who had a yeshiva in Europe. When Yimach Shemam v'Zichram, the Nazis started to overrun the continent, he made regular trips to America to raise funds. And when things got serious over there, if I could use such a mild word, it was suggested to him that he not return because he was here safely on the American shores. Realizing that he could face death, he still felt the responsibility to his position as the Rosh Yeshiva. He returned, he was captured, and he was killed. His son, Rav Simcha Wasserman, survived and started an institution called Or Elchanan in memory of his great father, And what I'm going to tell you tonight is based on some of Rav Simcha's work, his discussion of Mashiach. In Eretz Israel, there are two great lakes. Not five like America. Two. Now, I'm not going to test your name, the five great lakes. Because I know you know that Huron, Superior, Ontario, you know the ones, okay. Michigan. You got the fifth one? The two lakes are Yam Kineret and the Dead Sea. Waters run down and flow into the Dead Sea, but never leave. The Kineret, waters go in one side and come out the other. Right, Rachmo? Right? You know. The Kineret is in the middle of the Yarden, comes down, they come out. But the Dead Sea is the end of the line. The life-giving lake, the one with the fish and the algae and the plants, is Kineret. It takes and it gives. The one that's dead, full of chemicals, where no fish could survive, and no human could remain for too long a time, is the Dead Sea, where it only takes, but never gives. The human being, when we speak of times of Mashiach, we're talking about a time when this human race of ours, in the words of Rav Simcha, comes back to its senses. You know we're all nuts. We are all nuts. I know some of you even look normal here tonight. But we're all nuts. We don't have our priorities straight. We don't know what's going on. We don't know where we're coming or going. We're just going with the flow. We're like birds flying in that formation. There's one guy in front and everybody's following. Where are we going? South. When we get there. Nobody, if he turns, they all turn. We have a herd mentality. We're not doing things that make sense to us. We're doing things because. The gas. It's fun. In the times of Mashiach, we will all come to our senses and become givers rather than takers. See, the human being is basically a social creature. The worst punishment on earth that anybody could think of is solitary confinement. When they get one of these really hardened criminals, they put him in jail. He got 85 life sentences in a row. I don't know how they do that, but they do it. And he's in jail forever and ever. And then he doesn't behave in jail. What do they do with him? Solitary confinement. Because that's worse than jail. As long as he could talk to somebody, be with somebody, do laundry with somebody, he's a person. Put him alone, he's no good. We're social creatures. And a person was made to exist amongst other people. And Hashem expected us to be concerned for the welfare of those around us and to become givers. Baale Chesed. And Hashem knew that if we did that the way He created us, in a normal, natural world, we would feel good and happy doing for others. In fact, Rambam in the Halachot of the holiday of Purim, Sukkot, when he talks about Simcha, what's happiness, he says there's nothing better than giving the poor. Bringing people to your house to eat and giving them. That's what's going to make you happy. You want to enjoy the holiday? Bring them for Sukkot, bring them for Purim. On the other hand, if you live in a society of takers, it's not a pleasant life. First of all, we do. A lot of takers out there. Things are not safe. You can't walk the streets, ride the subways, drive a car, go on certain blocks, take a walk. Because there's takers out there. They want to take what you have and they don't care what they have to do to get it. Maybe that's hard to understand. Maybe we live a sheltered life. Look at a marriage. A marriage where two people are living together under one roof. In a marriage where each is concerned about giving to the other, you have a happy marriage. When you have a marriage where each is wondering like a business, what can I get out of it? You don't have a happy marriage. And in many cases, you have a disaster. In a natural home, one where people give, you have happiness. In an unnatural state of taking, a spoiled state of greediness and selfishness, you have unhappiness. Still don't have it clear? Think of an infant. When an infant wants something, what's the next sound? Mwah! Now imagine, this infant wants, mwah, 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 mwah. Could you imagine mom coming over to the 12-week-old baby and saying, "Honey, honey, don't cry, you're disturbing the neighbors." And the baby stops. The baby don't care. The baby wants, "Give me. I'm not mature. I'm not adult. I'm a baby. I can do whatever I want." You know, it's the problem with the world before Mashiach. We have 60-year-old infants and 70-year-old infants and 80-year-old infants running around the world. I come first and I don't care about anybody else. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Rah, rah, rah. I saw a story in two versions. The shorter version for tonight is, imagine some kids who decide they want to make some money. So they decide to make lemonade. And they make a big barrel of lemonade and they're going to sell it the next day for a nickel a glass. One kid gets up in the night and says, "Well, I want some lemonade." So he takes lemonade and he knows they'll catch him, so he pours water in. And throughout the whole dormitory, one after another, a kid gets up, takes one glass himself and pours water in. One by one by one. What do you got in the morning? You don't have lemonade, you got water. Each one concerned about their own spoils it for everyone. Now, the natural human condition where we have a conscience, where we have good feelings for each other, like Hashem intended us to be, is supposed to guide us and help us and develop us so that as we grow from the little infant into mature adults, we transform like a caterpillar into a butterfly from takers into givers. And everybody would be happy. But society has become so corrupted, so gimme, so grab me, so Donald Trump. Ugh, right? Anybody like him? One, okay. You admire money, you don't like him. Can't like him. Ugh. So everybody becomes so Trumpy. Gimme, take me, the deal's what counts. If I have more, I'm better than you. That the natural condition that's built into you, doesn't operate. And the conscience we were given to help us operate is buried in selfishness. So Hashem gave us one last parachute. What do you use a parachute for? when the plane's going down, you don't want to jump. Nobody wants to be on the plane to begin with. But if you have to jump, thank God for parachutes. It's your last hope. And pray that I didn't fold it for you. You jump out of the plane and you parachute. It's your last hope. What's the last hope of the human race? The Torah. Torah means teaching. He gave us the service manual that comes with the car and the refrigerator. So you don't press the button and burn out the motor. You know how long to warm it up and what kind of oil to put in it. So that it runs smoothly and properly for year in, year out, not just to one day after the warranty runs out. To the human being, and for that machine to run properly, you need a Torah. That's the service manual. We have a problem. We as a generation resemble the generation of the Mabul. Vatimale Haaretz Hamas. That's not some political organization of Palestinians. Hamas is Gezel. Hamas is give me. I want it, I'm taking it. And for that, Nechtam Zadinam, the fate of the door, the generation of Noach was sealed because they were takers. If I want it, I take it. What bailed us out? Hashem's promise. We got lucky. He said, even if they do it again, I'm not bringing another flood. Even if they do it again, I'm never wiping out mankind. So what's he going to do? If we do it again, immorality, taking, robbing, stealing, all the junk that's going on, maybe we reach the level of the flood, but he promised not to do it, so what is he going to do? Rashi in Bereshit starts the answer. Rashi in Bereshit says that the light we see today is not the natural light of Bereshit. When it said Yehi Or, let there be light, that natural light that was created was too bright for the human condition. Hashem, realizing that, stored some of the power of the light for the Tzaddikim in Olam Abba, or after the days of Mashiach, and we live even in the brightest sunshine that you can't look at with a fraction of the light of Bereshit. And the reason he did that is we would misuse it. It's similar to a toy hammer. You know Bob the Builder? Hi, Bob. You go to Toys R Us, you walk down the aisles. What would you like? I like that Bob the Builder set. Kid comes home, puts on his belt, he's got a screwdriver, a tape measure, a hammer, a saw. And Baruch Hashem, 1,000 times, it's all plastic. And he bangs and he saws. Does he destroy anything? Maybe the hammer and maybe the saw. But not your furniture. Because if we gave him a real hammer and a real saw, you're in trouble. But we want him to learn. We want him to realize that you can use tools, you can build, and you can do. So we give him something like it. We give him something made of plastic, and the child plays with it. Isn't that wonderful? So that's what Hashem did for us. We were given a fraction of the power of light. What do we do with it? We create atomic energy, which is supposed to heat and light our homes. Right? Is that what we're using it for? Or we're using it to make bombs and missiles and weapons of mass destruction? We're going to find them one day. Now, Simcha, who proposed this theory, Simcha Wasserman Zecher Zikla Bracha, says, but since Hashem has sworn a Chumash will not actually be destroyed, I have the feeling He's watching us. Mankind can go up to the very border of self-destruction, but cannot destroy itself completely. Now, since we cannot be destroyed completely, what is Hashem going to do when there's a society that's so similar to the pre-flood society, and He can't destroy us? The answer will shock you. Instead of bringing a flood, He'll bring Mashiach. So Dave says, what kind of punishment is that? When society is on the brink of destruction, that's precisely when Hashem is going to bring Mashiach. That's the best environment for the revelation of Hashem's glory in the world. And many, many of the conditions described by Chazal for the pre-Mashiach days, the low state of the world right before He comes, we're seeing right now. There are good things, like the Teshuvah movement. People become thirsty for Hashem. But there's also other things, like a generation whose face is like a dog. You ever see a master walking the dog? The dog is in front, about half a block ahead. And it looks like the master is following the dog. But the dog keeps looking back to see, is it okay if I turn the corner? Is it okay if I go further? What do you think? What do you think? Is there a politician or a world leader today who's a world leader? Or do they read the polls before they do anything? They keep looking back at what the plumber and the cleaning woman and the farmer and the car worker and the mechanic and the air conditioning guy and the businessman, what do they think? And then I'll decide what I should do. Is that a leader or is that a dog walking in front of the man? David HaMelech didn't take polls. Shlomo did not take polls. And Moshe Rabbeinu certainly did not take a poll. That's the world today. Public opinion. If Lo Aleinu, you watched that convention last week, and you saw those people waving, I didn't watch it. I know what it looks like. If you could watch those people waving those things that say the names of the candidates, and they're jumping up and down, and you realize they're deciding who's going to lead you, and you're not frightened, you're not frightened. The leader's going to listen to what they want? Did you see them? I would buy a used car from one of them. I don't know about a Pepsi Cola. Without checking the date. So Mashiach's here. He's going to reveal Himself any minute. But it gets frightening. Because our rabbis predict that the footsteps of Mashiach will be preceded by great trials and tribulations and suffering and violence like the world has never known. Sound 9/11 to you? Sound terror alert to you? Just a sign of Mashiach. That's all it is. But now that you know that's it, there's one big question you should be asking. So what am I supposed to do? Sounds like it's all planned, it's all out of control, it's all out of whack. We got these murderers and killers and terrorists all over the place. What am I supposed to do? All right, come back next week. Oh, no, 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 no. Rabbi Elazar. Almost 2,000 years ago said, a person should busy themselves with Torah and Chesed. If you involve yourself with Torah and you involve yourself with Chesed, you can protect yourself from the trials and tribulations, the violence and the suffering that precede Mashiach. Chesed's a funny thing. In business, we like to pay back in kind. Somebody told me, no, I'm going to this place. How could you afford that? Oh, we have a barter system. We have this account, they rent a place from us, and because they rent the place from us, we get tickets or rooms or whatever in their place. Barter. In kind. You gave me $1,000 worth of product, I'll give you $1,000 worth of product. Exchange. We do it every day. We go to the store, they ring up how much it is, we give them money, they give us the goods. But Chesed doesn't work that way. Chesed's a funny thing. A man's online. He's got to make a flight. Forgot his wallet. But he's got to get to where he's going. So he's standing online, he gets to the counter. He remembers the fare was $89. He has $100 in his pocket. And when he gets to the thing, he says, I'll have a one-way ticket to Paradise. Paradise, Ohio. A one-way ticket to Paradise. The clerk says, $101. Oh, but you say I only have $100. He says, well, I'm sorry. It was $89 in the paper. But there's airport tax, student tax, you gotta pay the guy who's frisked you, we gotta take care of all this. So the price, the bottom line price, 101. I'm short a dollar. And I gotta get there. Clerk says, well, I'd love for you to fly, but I can't issue a ticket from this computer unless I have the money. The guy behind him online says, well, are you short a dollar? Here's a dollar. And he gives him a dollar. Nice to meet you. How are you? They trade business cards. I'll pay you back. No, not necessary. Nice to meet you. Da, da, da. They get on the flight. They're both going to Paradise. Right? They talk a little bit. A couple of weeks later, the party who lent the dollar needs someone to co-sign for a car. Not a big car, not a fancy car, nothing we see on air, but maybe a Camry. $18,000, $20,000. He has credit, but not enough. They need somebody to co-sign. Friend hears about it. He says, you lent me a dollar to the airport, I'll co-sign. So the dollar to the airport, through remote control, like when you press the button, I still don't know how those things work. The garage door goes up and the car pulls. Now we start our car, heat our car. We do everything by remote control. We understand it better. But it's a mind-boggling thing. A man gave a dollar on a line and he gets $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 back in kind. Why? He did a chesed. He did a chesed. There's a story about the flat tire that everybody heard already. A man sees somebody stopped with a flat tire. He pulls over. Yeshiva guy, God State Parkway, going back to Lakewood. Stops to help, he changes the flat. Guy says, what's your name? My name? What's your address? When he goes to make his next mortgage payment, They send him back the check. Why? My good friend from the earlier part of the tape. Mr. Trump said you changed his flat. He wanted to pay off your mortgage. True story. Really? Was that confirmed? True story. He did a chesed. He changed the tire. Did that warrant paying off? Well, like within those days, the house was $60,000. Now it's $600,000. But a $60,000 house is paid off because he changed the tire? That's the way chesed works. It's not in kind. It's supernatural. Rabbi Elazar was telling us, chesed is the type of thing that can help each and every one of us in a way we don't expect, in a way that's unnatural when the trials and tribulations are unnatural. The world will be full of takers, and the one who's a giver will stand out in the eyes of Hashem so much so that Hashem will pay back that chesed, not in kind, but in a supernatural way of protection. That's a beautiful thought. You know, it's unfortunate. When you think why we were created, why did Hashem create man last? Because he's the pinnacle of, he's the zenith of creation. He's the glory of why Hashem, here you are, guest of honor, take over. Just like when you're having an important guest, a great rabbi is coming to New York and you ask, can he stay by my house? No, can I have him for dinner? Yes, you can have him for dinner, we'll invite a few people, just other great rabbis and Rosh Hashivas to see him, they'll be in your house. You prepare, when the guest walks in, everything's perfect. Not you start to set the table when he arrives. So that's what Hashem did to show that you, human being, you are the pinnacle of creation. You're the star of the show. Instead of rising to the occasion and the challenge and the task, we're in a self-destruct mode, bringing morals to an all-time low, endangering ourselves physically with all kinds of weapons and anarchy in many places around the world. Not a day goes by where there's not seven or eight wars going on this planet. If Hashem were to take stock of his business, he would say we're about to go bankrupt. But is it possible that Hashem opened a business with a purpose? Not you or I. Hashem opened a business with a purpose and it can fail? Impossible. So, how do we explain it? We explain it that when you look at a business, if you look at any detail, you're not going to know the true picture. You have to look at the big picture to know if the business is succeeding or failing. There's different departments. And sometimes the department looks like it's losing. You take an advertising department, all they do is spend money. If the boss only looked at advertising, he closed the business. Out, nothing comes in. But Baruch Hashem, there's a sales department. And the advertising is yielding sales. And so the sales department is bringing in. And if the sales brings in more than the advertising sends out, we make money. So the CEO looks at the business not by department, he looks at the total picture. So Hashem, when he looks at this world, he looks at the human race, he looks at the days of Mashiach, and he says, bottom line, I know one thing. After all is said and done, all the ins and outs, all the accountants, LIFO and FIFO, their brains out, play with the numbers and crunch, we're going to end up with a prophet. Because in the days of Mashiach, the world will come to its senses. Hashem won't let it go any other way. He's a CEO in charge of a big business called history. And he has a plan. And it will work. If you look in Yeshaya, he tells you what's going to happen. After all the nuclear in Korea and Iran and Gaddafi and all of them are going crazy, right? They're buying and selling and missiles and what? What does the prophet tell us? They'll take their swords and they'll make plows. Hashem gave us brains, energy, and resources to help feed each other, to help house each other, to help clothe each other. Instead, we've used it for nuclear weapons and dirty bombs and biochemical and all these crazy things that are frightening people day and night. It wasn't too long ago. People were up at night looking at chemical suits and gas masks online and buying duct tape and plastic for their windows. Fear of the crazy misuse of what Hashem gave us. But Baruch Hashem, when Mashiach comes, we will start to live normally and naturally again. Life will be pleasant. People will be givers, contributors, and with that comes Biracha. Avichana Wasserman, Hashem Yikam Damo, Hashem should avenge his blood. So at the time of the coming of Mashiach, the miracles will be greater than those that our people saw in the Exodus of Egypt. In everything that happens, he explained, there's two aspects. There's the part you see and the part you don't see. The coming of Mashiach, what will be revealed will be much greater than the concealed. It's like seeing a bad dream and waking up. When a person is dreaming, everything is possible. When a person wakes up, they come to their senses. And reality sinks in again. A person realizes, I was only dreaming, this is reality. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Hayinu keholimi. We were like dreamers. When Mashiach comes, the people are going to say, you know, it was all a bad dream. This is reality. You must have a thought now. Bad dream? You're calling it a bad dream? Tell that to the 6 million. Tell that to the half the Jewish population of Spain that were tortured between 1392 and 1492 till expulsion. Tell that to those who suffered at the time of the Khorban at the hands of the Babylonians, or the second one at the hands of the Romans. Tell that to those who suffer the spiritual holocaust and no rights throughout Europe and Russia. Bad dream? That's as real as anything we could think of. Could you wake up and say, oh, it was only a dream when Mashiach comes? Many times a child wants to cross the street. In the old days they'd ask any adult, but now they're warned about strangers. And they're rarely alone. So let's say, so the child grabs its parent's hand or its big brother's hand. The child doesn't know how to cross the street. Doesn't know a red light from a green, a speeding car, how to gauge the distance or whatever. But the child knows, if I'm holding daddy's hand, I don't have to watch out. Because daddy knows how to cross the street. If I'm holding on to daddy, everything's okay. We have a Torah. If we hold on to it, everything's okay. Without it, we're alone and we're lost. Now I'm going to tell you how we're going to be after Mashiach. The introduction is over. Now for the main course. Prophet Zechariah shocks us by telling us that the people of Yerushalayim will look towards Hashem and they will mourn and they will cry bitterly, like someone would cry lo aleinu for the loss of their firstborn child. On that day, he says, there will be a great sigh of mourning in Yerushalayim. And the entire country will mourn, and families will mourn. And the Gemara says, you know when that will be? After Mashiach comes. We should expect the opposite. After Mashiach comes, mourning is finished and we're happy. Now we're going to start mourning after Mashiach comes. But this is how you understand it. Hashem created us, Asher bara Elohim la'asot. He wants us to be builders. He wants us to build a society and a world that's beautiful. Could you build in an environment of destruction? When Noah came out of the ark, what did he do? He planted a vineyard. And he's criticized for planting wine instead of wheat. But he had a reason, and Rashi teaches us why he planted wine. He looked around and he said, my goodness, we're the only 8 people left on earth. Everything's destroyed. What do you do now? Have a drink. Calm down. Hashem created wine to console someone who can't handle it anymore. And that's what Noah... Then he's criticized. You know why he's criticized? Because he didn't build. Hashem wanted him to come out and say, you know, it's all gone, but at least we're 8 people. We could start over and we could build. We should plant wheat. We should bake bread. We should have children. We should build houses. We should have a positive attitude. When you're the survivor, don't comfort yourself. Build. Plant. What the prophet wants to tell us, Hezekiah, I'm going to take away the lev ha'evin, the heart of stone, and I'm going to replace it with a heart of flesh and blood. What does that mean? What heart of stone? You have a heart of stone? Soft, red, blood. Heart of stone is a heart that's insensitive. These times, that's what we need. Could you think of a tragedy and go on? If you really thought about the 6 million, if you spent your whole day every day reading personal diaries and accounts, how each person suffered, was full of fear, was tortured in some way, dehumanized another way, lost what they had another way, was harmed just 6 million times over, you'd crack up. You wouldn't be able to handle it. So Hashem says, I'm going to make you dull and insensitive so you can handle it. You're going to have a heart of stone so you'll be able to forget, but not for no purpose, so you'll be able to build. You can get back to the job of building. You'll be able to carry on. If we really felt the pain, if we really were as sensitive as is natural for the human being, we would not be able to function. And forget Korban, forget Holocaust, 9/11 would have happened and we would have closed up shop. Remember how you felt when you read those biographies one by one. They had the features in all the newspapers. I think the New York Times had a person every day or 10 people every day. Who they were, a guy, a wife, a newlywed, a this, a that, a doctor, a that. Could you handle it? With a natural heart, the way the human being was created, no. With a heart of stone. You think about it, and you make plans to build again. What are we putting on that spot? What kind of memorial? How tall? How far? How great? I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will replace it with a heart of flesh, says the prophet, speaking on behalf of Hashem. Hashem gave us the capacity to forget now. But he will replace that with the real human, natural feelings that we should have. And we will be a much kinder, a much gentler, a much more giving, a much more caring, a much more sensitive human race, the way we were originally intended to be. And since giving and building, just like plowing, they'll take their weapons and turn them into plowshares. But when you plow a field, it looks like you're destroying it. You rip up the grass, you turn over the earth, you take out the rocks. But why are you doing it? To plant something better. That's what Hashem wants from us. And after all is said and done, Mashiach will come. B'mehirah b'yameinu. And we will be given a heart of sensitivity. And the greatest happiness is to help somebody else and care for somebody else and give to somebody else. So the human race will be transformed. And if politically and ben yumot olam hazeh unto Mashiach ela shibud machiyot bilvad, if the political change only be that we'll be living on top and the world be running according to Torah instead of the way it's running now through the UN and through the governments that we have today and all the chramis that are running the world, selfish, greedy people looking out for their own egos and their own selves and their own country over every other country. Chirac doesn't care how many people Saddam Hussein kills, tortures, wipes out, rapes. Just give me oil, give me contracts. If I get, I don't care about them. That's not the way the human being's supposed to be. That's not the way we're supposed to be. And when Mashiach comes, the great change will not be in society or when the sun rises or sets. It will be in how the human being is. How we will be. Real people. Not toy hammers. But not to destroy. The light will be used to see the good in everybody else. The light will be used to learn the wisdom of Hashem. The light will be so bright that everybody will be operating naturally, the way we intend it to be, a beautiful giving Yam Kineret. We take, we give, we share, we enjoy. And that's the happiest state the human being could be in. And that's why there'll be no war, that's why there'll be no crime, and that's why the wolf will be able to live with the lamb. Things will be gentler and kinder and nicer. I pray for that every day. You really pray for it without knowing. Now that we know the secret of what we're praying for, maybe our sincerity will break through the heavens. Because in spite of the fact that Sha'areh Tefillah Ninalu, that even the gates of prayer were locked in heaven with the destruction of the temple, Sha'areh Dema'ot Lo Ninalu, the gates of tears were not locked. So when you hear someone's in the hospital and you come to a Tehillim meeting and you cry, you're cracking open the heavens because you're caring. You have a heart of flesh, not stone. When you hear somebody can't get married and you make phone calls to help that person find a mate, you're bringing Mashiach closer. When you hear somebody doesn't have work and you call to help them try and get a job, or a position, an interview, build self-respect so you get up one morning, shower, shave, put on a tie and go to the city and speak to somebody, you're bringing Mashiach closer. And you're making yourself happier because Lekach Nosarta. You were created to do this kindness. That's what Hashem wants. He will bring Mashiach whether we do it or not. But we can prompt His bringing and protect ourselves from Chedle Mashiach, the horrible days preceding Mashiach, through learning Torah, doing mitzvot, and involving ourselves in chesed. May Hashem take it with the sincerity we give it and bring Mashiach. Amen.